Hello, can we please talk about UFC Vegas 57? I finally got it right that time. I thought that UFC Austin was UFC Vegas 57, but I digress. Come on, there are so many goddamn events, it's hard to keep track. Either way, the most important thing is there were some real good fights at the weekend. I think one of my bets was spot on, because somebody likes symmetry, and I enjoy that. So I'm going to recap that event, have a look at how my bets did. Most of the time, not very well. And gonna have a look at the news, gonna randomly see if there's anything in the news. I feel like maybe Ian Wright has been partying at Conor McGregor's place. Giant, who cares, quite frankly. If that is a news story, I'm not looking at it. Who cares? Who cares? Anyway, let's have a look at what happened at the weekend in the UFC. Stay with me for the Burt Locker episode 123, I believe it is now. So one of the things that jumped out at me actually was there's this light heavyweight on the prelims of last week's UFC, Mr. Carlos Ulberg. Now, Australian kickboxer, out of City Kickboxing, I believe. He's one of the training partners for obviously Adesanya, Volkanovski, all those guys. He looked really fucking good, like really good. He was an underdog as well. Interestingly enough, he was an underdog coming into it against Chukwi. Now, it was just a weird, like, half hook, half jab that just... He's clearly got a lot of power because he just flatlined him with it. Really good. So he's going to be one to watch out for. I would say that you're probably going to see him against another unknown, kind of unnamed, unranked light heavyweight just to get another impressive win under his belt. And then, look, it's not the most stacked division in the world, light heavyweight. So you could see him start climbing up the rankings very quickly, especially the fact he's out of City Kickboxing. That's always something that jumps out. Oh, Kelleher. Yeah, I forgot Kelleher got submitted again. I kind of thought that might happen. I like Brian Kelleher, though. I don't know why. I just like him. And yeah, it seems like he's been fighting a lot of uphill battles lately. So, because he actually took on one of the guys who stood out on the card, Mr. Umar Nurmagomedov, Khabib's first cousin. Looked fantastic. Just brilliant. I mean, I told you the guy could kick, didn't I? I did say one thing to watch out for was his kicks. He literally stomped on Nate Main's face from standing. From standing. Go back and watch the fight. I'm not kidding. Right? He stomped on his face from a standing position. That's how well that kid can kick. He's also got ridiculous wrestling. He just controlled the whole fight. There was never really any moments that he was in danger. He didn't really have to take too many risks. He was a minus 900 favourite. There were no surprises there. Other than, he didn't get the finish. I had that one being finished, but there you go. In fact, I had a submission round one. Terrible bet. My rationale was that he's obviously got very good submissions, and in round one, they're going to be nice and dry. Oh, that's what she said. Oh, no, that's terrible. Anyway, nice and dry. So the submissions tend to go in a little bit easier, especially if they're good at them. Unfortunately, wasn't to be. So that one, the bet rating is terrible. Chris Curtis, shout out to Chris Curtis. Actually, he looked really good. In fact, shout out to his cornerman, actually. He took on Rodolfo Vieira. Rodolfo Vieira is pretty good, but he just tends to lose basically every time I see him. So maybe he's not that good. He's obviously a sensational jiu-jitsu player. Curtis was just able to keep it on the feet and was just doing really well. One thing I really enjoyed was, I think it's Eric Dixon is his cornerman. Chris Curtis. He said something that I say a lot when I'm watching these fights. When they're being too pally-pally, they're touching, high-fiving all the time, hugging in the middle of the round. Stop that shit. You're in a fight. By all means, show the respect afterwards, but I don't like all the hugging and bullshit whilst the fight is still going on. Clearly, Chris Curtis's corner man shares that sentiment because he literally said, he's like, look, no high-fiving bullshit, all right? He's trying to take half your money. Chris, he's trying to take half your money. No high-fiving, no hugging, none of that bullshit. Do all that after. This is a fight. You're in a fight. So fight. I agree. I agree with that. But still, it was a good performance from Chris Curtis. So well done to him. Then obviously, you, like one of the other standouts that I really kind of noticed was Josh Parisian got the win there, TKO of Alan Badeau. That was pretty funny. And Josh Parisian said to Bisping in the post, right, because there was that chick, I can't remember what her name is, hold on, that jumped in, she got the win again, she jumped into Vanessa Demopoulos. Vanessa Demopoulos. Anyway, she jumped into Rogan's arms and she jumped into Bisping's arms. And Parisian just said, don't worry, Mike, I'm not going to jump into your arms. It's just, it was just funny because obviously he's huge, he's a giant, and he would, Bisping's a big strong guy, but you'd be struggling if Josh Parisian jumped into your arms, if you take a look at the fella. Shavkat Rakhmonov, just brilliant. I said exactly what was going to happen, really. I mean, it wasn't hard to predict. Doesn't make me Nostradamus. This is what I don't like it, going with the favourites usually, because even when people say, such and such is going to win, it's like, he's a fucking minus like 900 favourite. Although he was only a minus 390 favourite, which is still wide enough, quite frankly. Magny was pretty good defensively, but I was concerned about this matchup for him. It's a big step up in competition for Shavkat. Neil Magny is a very, very good fighter, but Shavkat is just, he does everything so well and everything so effortlessly. He's one, I've been on the Rakhmonov hype train for quite a while. Ever since when I first saw him fight, there's a certain effortlessness to how he does everything. Like everything. There are no weaknesses. I struggle to see anyone in that weight class that can beat him. Like, including the current champion, Kamaru Usman. That's how far ahead I'm putting the cart in front of the horse. I'm already looking at, like, Usman, the guys in the top five. I don't think Colby Covington gets there. I don't think there's many. I don't think even Khamzat is going to have a good time against Shavkat Rakhmonov, because Shavkat's stand-up is just too good. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that can happen in MMA, but for me, Shavkat, he's someone that you must keep an eye on. He's going to be very, very difficult to beat. Very difficult. So, hats off to him. Bet was fantastic because I said he had, at the time, 8 knockouts and 8 submissions. And I said that Rakhmonov clearly looks like a man who enjoys symmetry. So, boom, there you go. He got the submission to even it up. He's now got 8 submissions and 8 knockouts. 16-0, all finishes. That's, you don't need to say much more than that. And Armin Sarukin versus Mateus Gamrot. That fight was proof, again, that a fight doesn't have to be a big finish in order for it to be an exciting fight. It went to a decision, but it was one of the most back and forth, exciting roller coaster rides of a fight I've ever seen. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. And so this is what gets it like, because I got a lot of flack. Because when Thiago Santos fought Magomed Ankalaev, I said after the fight, and I stand by it, that fight was boring as fuck. Because it was. Neither of them really did anything. Neither of them were really going for anything. These two, were, and I got a lot of people saying, oh, just because it went to a decision, you think it's a boring fight. It's like, no. A decision can be exciting. This one's case in point, all right? But that Thiago Santos versus Ankalaev was a fucking joint. That was like watching paint dry. That was shit. It was a shit fight, and I'm tired of pretending that it wasn't. Whereas this went to a decision. Take note. Watch this fight. Wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. Just counter after counter after counter. Everything. There was a counter to everything. There was a flow. It was just the grappling of Gamrot was probably what tipped it for him. I thought he looked sensational. I would like to see Gamrot fight Benil Dariush next, or possibly Bilal Muhammad, like one of those guys, because he needs a name next, because that guy is good. He is really, really slick. And you know what? Sarukin's really good as well. I don't think either of them lost any stock, really. So I'll be just as excited to see Sarukin's next fight as Gamrot. So both of them gave such a brilliant account of themselves. If you missed that fight, I implore you to go back and watch it, because these guys, they're the future of the lightweight division. They're absolutely ridiculous skill levels. Like, during God mode skill levels. Loved it. Enjoyed every second of it. It was a good event. It was a really good event. Really enjoyed it. Really, really did. So before I go into the news, I just want to say thank you to everybody who watches this and who subscribes. If you could please do me a favor, hit like, hit subscribe, the bell notification, because a lot of people aren't subscribed that watch it. And just let me know in the comments which fight stood out for you. I'm always interested to talk to people about this. Also, check out my man Dave Keane's podcast, the CMA podcast. I was a guest on there. I'll be a guest on there on Saturday, where we break down the fights for UFC 276, because there's a lot of real good fights on there. So that one will be dropping day of the fights. So enjoy that. It's going to be a real fun conversation. And So also check out the Patreon if you like, because the Patreon gets extra fights now. I've decided to start doing it a little differently, so you get exclusive content. There are additional fight breakdowns on there that do not go anywhere else. So it's well worth the £1 a month. That's all I ask, to support the show, because I'm just trying to kind of move this forward to the next level. Yeah, I do this because I enjoy it, but I would like to try and turn it into something. So yeah, that's all I've got to say on that. Thank you for the support. Look forward to continued support, basically. Right, let's have a look at the news then. I haven't looked at the news at all before this point. So let's it's always interesting to see what headlines jump out at me. So Pedro Munhoz, okay, because that's coming up this week. Pedro Munhoz says that it's ridiculous that Sean O'Malley still calls himself undefeated. You lost, buddy. I agree with that sentiment completely. I agree with that sentiment completely, because at the end of the day, people are saying, like, he was saying that it was like a kind of an act of God, like a technicality where he lost to Chito Vera. But at the end of the day, Chito threw that kick with the intent to damage, and he damaged his leg so badly that Sean O'Malley could not continue. That is a TKO loss. He lost by stoppage, because that's not the first time his legs have given out on him, as far as I'm aware. They've given out on him before. And that, for me, is... that could be a problem against Munhoz. Munhoz is... because I'm going to go into this in more detail on Friday when I break down the fights. But Munhoz, he is the toughest test that O'Malley has ever faced. He's got very good leg kicks. And O'Malley's legs have failed in the past. That has happened, you know. So there could be some real good value on old Pedro Munhoz there. But I agree with him completely. Who else is there? Cain Velasquez, please push back again. I don't want to get into that. It's too depressing. It's too depressing, and too many people have a fucking opinion on it. Volkanovski in favour of open scoring because he's sick of excuses and people crying about decisions. Now, I'm not in favour of open scoring, but I very much agree with that sentiment, because obviously Volkanovski versus Max Holloway 2, very close fight. You still see not MMA pundits, because they've got better things to talk about, honestly. But you do see in the message in the forums and stuff, like the MMA forums, that a lot of people just still, they talk about, you know, Max Holloway winning the second fight. Because honestly, I think that this fight shouldn't even be people say, yeah, who has he stepped over in order to get the title shot? Max Holloway, I'm referring to here. But he has lost to Volkanovski twice. If you keep fighting Max Holloway, eventually he's going to get one, right? Max Holloway is as good as there is in that featherweight division, but he's come up second against Volkanovski twice. Volkanovski is as good as there is in that featherweight division. They're both at the tippy top of what is possible at that division at this time. And if you keep giving Max Holloway rematches, eventually he's going to get one. If he gets one this weekend, then they are going to have to run it back again, because you can't because it's not even a trilogy, because it's not a rubber match, is it? Volkanovski's won twice. So if Volkanovski is to lose this time and it's close, then they've got to do an immediate rematch. They can't not, really. How do you do that? How do you not give Volkanovski an immediate rematch if he loses to Max Holloway? So there's every chance that we see this a fourth time. Probably, it could be before the end of this calendar year. So for me, I don't know. I see why they've done the fight again, but I don't know. I'm not in favour of just giving one person unlimited do-overs until you get the result that you want. Conor McGregor's fight back on Jorge Masvidal, because goddamn, Jorge Masvidal with the funniest. He's just, I want to have that fight with Conor McGregor before he overdoses on cocaine. Still tickles me. Still tickles me. Honestly, it was so funny when I read that. Right, what is yeah, can you say, Masvidal, I'm quoting from this interview now, he said, I think the only thing that makes him want to get out of bed is cocaine. He's like, that's fair. Okay, every man has a free will, you do whatever you want, but don't say you're a fighter, and don't take cheap shots at me, especially the things he's been saying, talking about my legal problems and this and that. Okay. What did Connor say? So and he came back and said, I insult your mum. What a loser you are, mate. Me and your mum get along. Oh, is that it? Oh, come on, man. I thought it was going to be something funny. Oh, I can only apologize. I can only apologize. Connor's way better in press conferences than he is on Twitter, isn't he? Let's be fair, right? He, in press conferences and in person, he is pretty fucking good. I do quite enjoy seeing what he does. He's pretty funny. But on Twitter, sometimes he comes out with some real fucking like duds. Like just that just makes you sound like a fucking idiot. But yeah. So then we just got Troll of the Week. I already know this one. I sent it to myself earlier because it relates brilliantly to UFC 276, because UFC 276 is going to be fucking insane. It's got more fights than you could shake a stick at. It, like, literally, so you've seen it before with the picture of Dana White going, I think he's asleep at the time. I think he's just asleep. I think it's when Tyson was on the plane with him, if I remember rightly. And so you've got UFC 276, no easy way out. Load size, large. I'll tell you what, that is absolutely correct, because good lord, look at all these fights that are on here. I mean, just on the main card, you've got obviously got Adesanya versus Cannonier, middleweight title. But just looking at the early prelims, Uriah Hall versus Andre Muniz as the early prelim headliner. Jessica Eye taking on Macy Barber, that's ridiculous. There you've got, like, Brad Riddell gets Jalen Turner as the prelims headliner. Underneath that, you've got Jim Miller, Donald Cerrone, Brad Tavares against Dricus du Plessis. And then main card. Have they moved it to the main card? They fucking have as well. They moved Robbie Lawler and Brian Barberena to the main card. I thought they might, because I think they were struggling to find a replacement. Obviously, Miesha Tate was supposed to be fighting Lauren Murphy. That fight is off. Pedro Munoz against Sean O'Malley. Sean Strickland versus Alex Pereira. Alexander Volkanovski against Max Holloway. Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. That is just a load size large card. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to be breaking down a lot of these fights. I'm probably going to do a separate show just giving my picks for every single fight of that night, I think, just for fun. Because there's just every fight is a fight. I mean, they're all fights, but every fight is just, it's a good matchup with a name that I'm looking forward to seeing, which is rare. Like, it's like there's always like a few people that are unknowns on these cards. So even to me, I'm pretty deep into this, but there are often quite a lot of fighters on the card where I'm like, oh, okay, don't know you, do a bit of research. But these, I know all of them. They're all named guys. The early prelims could be a fight night. Honestly, like the prelims, definitely. I mean, Jalen Turner versus Brad Riddell is just going to be ridiculous. But anyway, I'm going too far into this. This will be on Friday. That's Friday for the picks, for the breakdowns. Until then, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.